Bishop Francis, amen. And they're both here from Brampton, Ontario, Canada. So they've come a long way too, amen. Amen. So maybe in second service we'll have them give a testimony. But this time I'd like to welcome Sister Flo Shaw, amen. Let's get ready to receive what God has in store for us this morning. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering as she comes. Amen. I'm looking for something today. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Bless you. God bless you, Pastor. Praise God. Let's give that hand of applause to Jesus. Amen. Isn't he worthy?
Yes,
he is. Indeed he is. Praise God. What a great time on yesterday. Amen. How many of you feel God did something special for you? I believe many received a miracle and God has done a mighty work. And that same presence that I felt yesterday, I feel here today. Don't you? The Spirit of the Lord is here, and I can feel him in the atmosphere. Amen. I want to first honor God for allowing me to be here at Rehoboth Church, New Life Center. I honor not only God, but my husband in his absence. He always supports me as I travel in prayer ministry, and I honor Pastor Brownie and First Lady Brownie. They're amazing. Amazing leaders in the kingdom of God, and I appreciate the invitation to be here again this year. I feel right at home. I feel like family. It's such a blessing. I've just enjoyed everything, the entire family. And Sister Brownie did an outstanding job at the prayer breakfast, didn't she? And it's evident because even Pastor Brownie said that you exceeded your attendance, I mean, above and beyond. So that's a reflection of her leadership. So thank you. And then of course, it's an entire church effort, Pastor Brownie and all of the saints who got involved and all who supported. And I give a hand to Brother Josh as well. Praise God. He helped me with the media. and everything has just been such a blessing. The entire team. Sister Audrey, she does such a great job. I need to take her back to Texas with me and take her on my travel so she could just go before me and just do her thing. She does an excellent job. I appreciate everyone, Sister Joanne. You can just see the giftings and the talents that flow. Sister Johnny, I know she assisted me last time. She may have stepped out for the moment, but I appreciate her. And so many of you, thank you so much. Everyone who has accommodated me here. And it's a pleasure to have Brother Patrick and Sister Claudine Reed and their children, Timon and Theo. Praise God. All the way from England. Amen. And I think of Theo, Theodore, that root name Theo is of God. And so you see, he's the man. My goodness, I feel the power of God. It's all in the name. And names are significant, but it's a pleasure to be with them. And also our other guests who are here, from what I understand, who has walked in the ministry. It's an honor to be with you, Minister Bishop Reed, again. Okay, praise God. And what is your name again, sir? Brian, okay, and it's an honor to be with you, and I just respect and I love the ministry so much. Let's give them a hand, our leaders, those that go before us. Amen. Praise God. I do want to welcome any visitors that are here and those who will be coming. I believe the Lord has something special here today, and he will do a work. Amen. I also want to greet you on behalf of World Network of Prayer. Our headquarters is in Weldon Springs, Missouri, which is right outside of St. Louis. And we support about 30,000 churches worldwide. And it's so important to have people engage in prayer ministry. We have a website at wnop.org. that you can feel free to take advantage of the resources that we have there. Amen. We have a kids prayer website, a youth prayer website, and for adults as well. We have a free weekly online newsletter where you can hear about events, you can download resources, etc. I have really enjoyed, you have a great music ministry. I've really enjoyed the singing, the worship, the praise, and so forth. Now, I do want to get directly to the Word of God this morning. I feel like God has given me something. So if I could turn your attention to, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. And it reads, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'I bear him with sorrow.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me.' And God granted him that which he requested." Amen. Pastor Brownie, if you'd be so kind to lift up your voice and pray over the reading of the Word of God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. I would like to entitle this message today, "No Pain, No Gain." No pain, no gain. And I have a subtitle, and it is "A Blessing in Disguise." A blessing in disguise. I want you to turn to someone next to you and tell them, you might have thought your situation and your pain was for the bad. Tell them. But continue on and say, but it may be a blessing in disguise. Amen. Tell someone else, no pain, no gain. Amen. So, honey, it may be a blessing in disguise. You know, I like to use illustrations and props and so forth. And because statistics show that people have a lot more, they're a lot more apt to remember what they see as opposed to what they hear. And so I kind of want to use a little illustration here today, and maybe Pastor Brownie could help me out some. You just come up, you can stay on the floor level, and you can just hold this up front. Some of us, I feel, situations in life, past, present, future, that God is doing such a work, you feel like you're just being squeezed. It's like, Lord, let up some. And you're being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. And if it were as you were this tube, the vessel that God is using, and the pressure is on. You don't understand why you are going through these trials, and there's pain at each squeeze. But God has a purpose for your pain. And as I open this tube, as you open yourself to God in the midst of your trial and your situation, as you feel the pressure and the squeeze, oh my goodness, I see the product coming out. I see something beneficial that will help my body. In this case, This natural application is toothpaste, but when I use it to brush my teeth, it keeps it healthy. It helps my breath, and thank goodness, you know, we need that. Say, praise the Lord. We all can benefit from toothpaste, but this toothpaste would not come out this tube if there was not the hand of God or your hand squeezing it. And so it is in the spiritual. There is pain as God allows it to happen in your life, but He is going to allow productivity to come forth. There is fruit from your labors, from the hard work, for the pain, for the sacrifice, the squeezes on. But be ye steadfast, be unmovable, steadfast in the Lord, because your labors are not in vain. I could use another illustration. We ladies, we love these little tubes of lotions, the scented ones. And your hands may get dry sometimes, and you need a little bit of lubrication. But as that tube of toothpaste, there has to be a little bit of pressure applied. And it has to be squeezed if you are going, oh, he needs some lotion right now. They're perfect. The Lord answered his prayers. And so this is just an illustration. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Excellent, Pastor Brownie. Even the Apostle Paul said, I am spent for the sake of the gospel, he poured out everything. And if I squeezed all of the content out of that tube of toothpaste or the tube of lotion, oh my goodness, that's what God is trying to get, 100%. He could be glorified to the highest as we pour out ourselves completely to Him. And even though we feel like we are being spent, God is using you, praise God. And that's what God is doing. No pain, no gain. And so God wants us to understand that you are useful in His kingdom. Now, going back to the scripture text, we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there is a listing of nothing but names and genealogies and texts, which relays the descendants of Judah. And then all of a sudden, there appears to be a pause with the notation of a man named Jabez. You're saying, Jehu? Jay Leno? Jay-Z? Beyonce's husband? You know the rich rapper that people know in the world? Nobody knew Jabez. Who is this? Now, if you told me David, oh, yeah, I know King David. Or if you told me someone else, oh, yeah, I know them. But even think about King David. Nobody knew him when he was just a boy watching sheep. Yet he did great things behind the scenes. He killed a lion and he killed a bear. But God had a time and a place for his unveiling to Israel, in which God's calling, anointing, and purpose would go forth to reveal his divine destiny, to be elevated in a visible position of authority. And I feel that even resting upon some of the ministry here, that God is putting you on a platform because he is going to take you to the forefront in a greater way of visibility, so that your audience will enlarge and he will use you in a greater way. How many of you believe that? Praise God. Now, going back to Jabez, why the mention of Jabez? His story was so astounding that the writer took time to mention it. In this story, I want to highlight 7 main focuses that can help us. And all of these are going to be easy to remember. Some of you could even write them down up front, or you can just buy the CD if you want to remember. But all of these words begin with the letter P. All of these key words begin with the letter P. And I will name them up front, but then I will comment on each one as I go along. The first one will be purity. The second one will be pain. The third, prayer. The fourth, provisions. The fifth, presence. The sixth, preservation. And the seventh, prosperity. There's a journey here, and you're going to see the progression as it is outlined in the scripture text that I read. So let's begin with the first letter P, purity. The story said that Jabez was more honorable than his brother. I'm reading directly as the scripture text says. So honorable has to do with purity. That means that God blesses a life of purity. Jabez's motives were pure and his character was upright. Now, it did not say Jabez was perfect, because we're not. We're striving for perfection. Amen. And people are watching you. They really are. On your job, in the school, in the workplace, in the community. If you think, you think, oh, well, folks don't care, they do. If you think nobody cares that you are alive, try missing a couple of bill payments. Your creditors care. They will be calling you. But don't let your obstacles stop you. Some of you have put a period where God has put a comma in your sentence. Amen. And so he wants you to move forward and to be encouraged as you strive to live for him and to serve him. Amen. Praise God. I mentioned yesterday, I showed a picture through the media of earlier this year. We gathered, actually it was just last month, on May 4th, all of the seven largest oneness organizations came together. And for the first time ever, it was called the Apostolic Day of Prayer. And so I worked closely with Bishop Brooks of the PAW. They were the ones who spearheaded that event. The prayer ministry, World Network of Prayer, was asked to provide the hospitality services as well as some of the prayer services preparing for that event. And it was just amazing to see over 2,000 people gather at the Capitol in Washington, D.C., in the National Mall. And God did some amazing things there. I worked closely with Elder Alan Burris, and God did some great things. And not only that, when we begin to have a life of purity and gather together in unity, God will do great things. I mentioned also that we went to Detroit at the end of the month, last month, to prepare the groundwork for prayer in that city and to pray for the city and the state. And it's interesting how God will bless a life of purity in those who are sincere. So we drove about 3 hours from Detroit to a place called Muskegon. And the Lord directed our steps. We did the historical research. And anything that, and actually Muskegon is kind of like the birthplace of Michigan. And so sometimes you have to go to the root, to the foundation, to pull down strongholds. And I don't have time to tell you all the details of that trip. But as God leads you and guides you, it's amazing how he will bless you beyond what you would imagine. So we went to certain sites there and we prayed. And so as we were driving, some of the people who were with us was familiar with the church there called Christ Temple. The bishop there is Bishop Burrell. And so it's one of the PAW churches in the fellowship. And so we dropped by to pray for the church and on the premises. And that originally was not even on the schedule, but God guided us there. And so as we got out, the school was going on, and the ladies were in the office, the secretary and one of the administrators, and the pastor wasn't there, but they called him, and the pastor said, oh my goodness, please pray for the premises, pray for the church, et cetera, et cetera, and got our information and so forth. And one of the ladies who accommodated us, and it was amazing, she said, the Lord woke me up at 4:00 in the morning, and she said, I was so broken because I just had discovered that I had cancer. And she said, and he spoke to me and says, I'm going to send you help. I'm going to send someone to you today. Praise God. A life of purity that this lady had. And it was just amazing. And as we gathered around her and prayed for her, and I believe that God has done a miracle, I was able to tell her about my husband who had cancer 20 years ago and how God healed him. And I remember when he went to the doctor and they told him that the cancer he had has spread it and you need to have surgery. And so the doctor said, I will call you and we will schedule the appointment. And as my husband sat there, he said, the Lord moved upon him. He said, sir, he said, I tell you what, you don't have to call me. If I, when I feel led to, I could call you if need be. And so my husband went home. The Lord spoke to him, and the Lord told him, I'm not saying this is the case for everyone because everyone's situation is different. Don't go home and do this. Be led of the Lord. Be in the subjection of your pastor. Praise God. And he threw away medication he had had before for that, and he said, I'm done. I'm going to trust the Lord. The Lord told him that he was going to heal him. And to make a long story short, my husband threw the medication away. He trusted God. And all of a sudden, a month passed, 2 months passed, a year passed, 3 years passed, 5 years passed, 20 years passed, and he has never had to call the doctor because he called on that doctor. Praise God. And because of his pain and because of his testimony, I was able to share it with my dear sister so that she could receive her healing. There is a reason for your pain, and God will honor your life of purity. Praise God. Let's go to number two. The second P is pain. How do we know that there were pain? Because, and I'm going in chronological order of the scripture text, reading it verbatim, because the scripture says that she bore him, bare him in sorrow. That is pain. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. In Hebrew, the word Jabez means pain. The literal complete interpretation in context used means he causes or will cause pain. Now, his life does not sound too positive at all. First of all, he was born, Pastor Browning, of the tribe of Judah, which meant that P should have been a praiser. That P, the purpose was not supposed to stand for pain. It was supposed to stand for praise. So Jabez did not want to have pain nor to cause pain, but he wanted to be a blessing, and he did not want his name to define his future destiny. And sometimes we are tagged by people in society. It may be parents who are not serving God, siblings, friends, spouse, an abusive spouse, children, strangers, enemies, and people that we live with just in society. Some of you may have been abused from the past, even from kids. You know, we hear the expression, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yes, names do hurt. My goodness, some of that is plaguing us today, and we need deliverance, and it's defining our destiny. But God wanted to give Jabez a new start. Now, even in the Bible, a name was often taken as a prophecy of the state of a child's future. This is an example. Jacob. His name meant deceiver, but God changed it to Israel, a prince having power with God. Think about this, living out that name. Solomon means peace, and he was the first king in Israel to reign without going to war. So a name, what's in a name? There is something in a name. So Jabez's birth was beyond, that's what I was telling you, Theo, there's something in a name. Jabez's birth was beyond the ordinary pain, and his mother chose to memorialize it in his name. We don't know the source of the pain. A woman in natural childbirth will experience a measure of physical pain, but there must have been something unusually painful here for her to name him Jabez. Perhaps the pain was spiritual. emotional, physical, circumstantial, relational, mental, social. The text does not specify. So now the child named Jabez would experience and administer pain and sorrow. Amen. And we don't know. Everybody's situation is different. I have a friend who was a business owner. He owned several restaurants, very successful, but he developed MS, multiple sclerosis, and eventually ended up in a wheelchair. And he told me himself, he said, Sister Shaw, he says, I am convinced, because he's kind of a high roller person and into money and all kinds of stuff. He said, if I would not have this condition and be confined to a wheelchair, I know I wouldn't even be saved. The money would have got me. I would have been out in the world. And so you just never know. There is a reason. And it's better for your soul to be saved than your body to be saved or to experience pleasure. God knows all things. Amen. But I am here to tell you God is able to bless you though in spite of your pain. You can say, Lord, do not let my label be my legacy. Amen. Think about this. If you could just persevere through the pain. All of you have heard of Abraham Lincoln. He's a shining example of persistence. Many of you know that he was the president of the United States, and he shut down the practice of slavery. But few of you may know his path to presidency. It was littered with failure. Listen to this. In 1831, Lincoln failed in business. 1832, he was defeated for state legislator. In 1833, he tried a new business and failed. 1835, his fiance died. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. In 1843, he ran for Congress and was defeated. In 1848, he ran again, and he was defeated again. And you're like, Sister Shaw, I've tried again and again. I'm done. No, listen. In 1855, he ran for Senate and lost. In 1856, he ran for vice president and lost. In 1859, he ran again for the Senate and lost again. In 1860, though, if you could just hold on, Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States of America. There is purpose for his pain in the midst of these failures. Even Lincoln himself quoted, I will get ready when my time comes. Your time is coming, honey. I have come to tell someone. Be encouraged. Hold on, because your time is coming. I don't know what you're going through. It might be some dreams and visions in ministry. It might be you've gone through a sickness for a season. You might be waiting for a good husband, a good wife. I don't know. You single young ladies, how many single women we got in the house? Raise your hand. Woohoo! How many of you women want to be married? My goodness. I could tell you some things. How God joined my husband and I together. I could tell you the story about my sister, and I think I'm going to tell hers right quick. I might have told it, but anyway. I tell you, my younger sister she went to Louisiana Tech University getting her degree in chemical engineering. And first time, one of her classmates invited her to a Pentecostal church for the first time ever. And she went to the altar that Wednesday night, Bible study, repented of her sins. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Her life changed. She used to be in the sorority. She was an AKA. And she used to go to the stump shows and the parties and stuff. But when God filled her with the Holy Ghost, her life changed. She started dressing different. She started living a life of holiness and not going to all the parties and so forth. And so it stood out. And people apparently saw that. So here it is. She graduates from college. She moves to Huntsville, Alabama, and started going to a PAW church there called Apostolic Lighthouse. And so she started working for NASA. and she was worked for Marshall Space Center for quite a while, and all of a sudden, she had a business appointment one day, and it was a man from Louisiana working with one of their contractors with one of their engine parts or something, and it might have been Martin Marietta or Boeing, but anyway, so they were scheduled to meet. He comes in her office, and as they sit down, he's looking at her, and he says, "You know, you look a little bit familiar, like I know you." And as they went back in time, come to find out, they went to the same college. And he was in a fraternity. He said, "Oh my goodness, I remember you. You were this girl, you were in the sorority, and all of a sudden you stopped going to the parties and to the Greek shows and all of that." And he was like, "What happened?" And then he said, "Oh my goodness, don't tell me. You found God, you're in church." And he said, "Look at you, you look holy. You mean this is real, this works?" And he said, "Oh wow." He said, "I've been searching for something." He was so impressed. He went back to New Orleans, Louisiana, found an apostolic church. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he was baptized in Jesus' name. And it didn't stop there. They became friends. He moved to Houston. Then the NASA from Alabama transferred her to the NASA in Houston, and they became friends, and they started a dating. And you can tell God had lined this thing up, because it was Valentine's Day. Guess what? They got each other the same card. Hundreds of cards in the mail. Get this. By this time, our family is so large, we would pull names for gifts for Christmas, and by that time, they were already engaged. They pulled each other's name three times. You can't tell me God didn't put that together. And now they have married, and they have an apostolic church in Galveston, Texas. They took an old fire station and converted into a church, our house. But I tell you that they do not put out fires there. They start them. God will put that thing together. Hold on. Just live a life of purity. I don't care if you've been waiting and it seems painful. If it's the will of God, he knows. Good things come to those who wait. Don't you feel a witness? Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't ask me where that came from, but someone needed to hear that. That wasn't even in my notes. Praise God. So regardless to what you go through, your pain might be someone in here, depression. Some may even have been tempted with suicidal thoughts. For the fourth year, I've been going to this church in Illinois. Every time I fly into headquarters, which is Troy, Illinois, is right next door to St. Louis, Illinois. So the pastor would invite me. The first year that I went and was in service, this young lady was sitting in there. I found out later she had a military background. She looks like she's about in her 30s. And I think she was some of her family background was Church of God in Christ. But she was never in church, from what I understand. And she saw a lot of her friends die in the military and went through all kinds of stuff. And so she met the pastor of the church in a class that they both were taking. And he invited her to church when I was going to speak for the first time. And so I went. She went to church, and it was interesting because in that particular service, the weather was bad. I remember there was an ice storm, there was snow, and they had to change the 11 o'clock service to 2, because the weather would be a little bit better by that time. And so I come to church, and I didn't even know what was going on. I hadn't even met her yet at the time. And here's this lady sitting in the back, and she's kind of slumped down. And then after service, whatever the Lord gave me to share, I think I shared my testimony how, and you all have heard it before, how I was attacked and I almost died and God sent an angel. And I shared that, and it just impacted her. She came to me. She said, now this is God. She had a couple of barriers. Her mind was plaguing her with suicidal thoughts and the snow, and because of the weather, she still ended up in church. And she told me after service that day, Sunday, she was planning on going home to commit suicide but she was going to go to church first. But because of what she heard, it impacted her. And so here it is, the Lord touched her, and so I put her name on the prayer list. I said, we're going to pray for you. And the next year I came back, I had an invitation, and sure enough, I saw her sitting in the back. And the pastor said, you know what, I haven't seen her for a year, but I sent out on social media, she knew you were coming, so she came back again. And we've opened up the church, but it's just a battle. I don't care how long the battle has been, what kind of pain. The devil has just beat up this young lady. And so she was there. And I told her, I says, you know what? I says, I'm not giving up on you. I got folks praying for you. God wants to do something in your life. And here it is. I come back again. I come back, and she's there. And the pastor would say, she only comes when you come. This past year, I went back in March, and there she was in the back. But this time was different. You hold on. I tell you, when I went to pray with her and we reconnected together, God did a work that weekend. God filled her with the Holy Ghost, totally delivered. She said, I have no suicidal thoughts. Her countenance is totally different. God can do anything, and God has called her to the ministry. She knows the word of God back and forth, and that's why the devil fights some of you the hardest, because he doesn't want you to get beyond or past your pain. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God is able to do it. I need to move along quickly. Let's go to the third P, prayer. Why did we know that there was prayer involved? Because the text said that he called on the God of Israel. We must pray and believe that there is nothing too hard for God. Amen. Praise God. God can restore marriages. God can heal your body. God can do anything that you are desiring him to do if it's according to his will. Amen. Regardless to how people have labeled you or what negative thoughts you have about yourself or what other people have about you, it doesn't matter. You don't have to accept your label. Jabez did not. Even if you've made mistakes in your life, that's the past. The Bible says to forget those things which are behind. God wants us to press forward towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And so when you begin to pray, God can do anything. I just came back from our international summons we conducted in St. Louis. And there is a friend of mine, a lady that I met. She's one of the ministers in the church in Toronto, New Life Center, Pastor Andrew Eastman, Ontario, Canada. And this past year, she went through something that she did not expect. And this young lady is probably in her 50s, 40s, 50s. She's a professional lawyer. And she was at church. And you know, the enemy, he will try to afflict you anywhere. He'll try to discourage you. And she was about to go up to the pulpit to speak that night, to preach that night. And all of a sudden, when she was about to go up, she found that she couldn't even move one of her legs. So they rushed her to the hospital. Her name is Tracy. And come to find out, she had a stroke. And so that whole side, her arm, her leg, she couldn't move, even though she was still able to speak and she could comprehend things. And it was a journey. And I remember shortly after that, but they still were amazed it wasn't worse. I went to speak there, and so the pastor and another friend took me to see her, and we prayed for her. And my mom told me, she knows my mom too from a previous trip, to tell her, just thank God for your healing. Sometimes, I'm not saying all cases, God wants us to go to him, but when we've asked God, if you simply believe him, the next step is trust. You don't have to keep asking him. Just thank him for it. Amen. Praise God. And so I told her that, and we prayed, and then we left. And to make a long story short, she was kind of giving me updates. All of a sudden, they just said her progress was just amazing and that it was just beyond. So God was healing her. There's a difference between a miracle and a healing. A miracle is when it happens instantaneously, but a healing is a progression, and the time is expedited quicker than it would have been done in the natural. And so she had received a measure of healing there already, because her recovery was just like, wow. And she was taking steps and moving forward, and everyone was just shocked. But she still had this condition in her head, in her brain, that they said she needed to have surgery and operation, because this could reoccur, or there was something there that was not right. And so she testified this herself at the international summons last week, and it was just amazing. She said that before she went to surgery, the doctor was there, the team was there, and she said, "Doctor, can I pray for you? Can I pray for your hands? Because I know you're going to be the one doing the surgery, and I'm a person of prayer." And he said, "Sure." And so she said this prayer and prayed over his hands, and then they went into surgery. You know, she had this mass. She had something in her head that was affecting, could potentially cause something else again in the future. And so she said the next thing she remembers, she woke up, and there's a whole, the doctor standing over her and all the nurses and everything. And then all of a sudden when she opened her eyes, and the doctor just said, "Tracy," he said, "your God heard your prayer. There was nothing there. We didn't have to do anything." But not only that, he was so moved. After she got, he says, "You could go home. You could go home today." And after she put on her clothes and got everything to go home, and she was there with her mom, and the doctor came back by again, the doctor went in there and he said, "Tracy," he said, "you know, sometimes when I perform my surgeries," he said, "that I just play like classical background music." And he said, "Tracy, did you write down that prayer?" And then she said, "No, it's just a prayer that I prayed, but I can pretty much remember the gist of what I said." He said, "Could you please write that down? Because I want the words of that prayer that you prayed to be put to my music that I play in every surgery. I want that those words being spoken over every person I'm operating on. Don't you tell me we don't serve a great God. There is purpose in your pain. And who knows who else will be healed and ministered and delivered because of those words going forth." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is able to do great things. Now let's move to number four, provision. Why is provision mentioned in the text? Because the text says that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. I'm talking about provision. Amen. To bless in the biblical sense means to ask for or to impart supernatural favor. Amen. God wants to enlarge your coast. Some of you are asking. You're living beneath your privileges. You're asking too little. You know, God can do anything. How many of you have ever heard, "I never thought I'd be president, but look what God has done. I never thought God would do this big thing in my life. I never thought that I would have such a great platform, Sister Reed, Sister Claudine, and what you do." You just, God wants us to, he wants to expand our vision, to enlarge our coast. There are greater doors that will open up than you can ever imagine. And whatever it is, whatever you're working in school, even as you young people go, praise God, Timon and Theo, you don't know what God has for you. My goodness, there are unlimited possibilities for the future. Amen. Praise God. And Brother Reed, there are unlimited possibilities for the ministry, unlimited possibilities for the saint of God, salvation in your family, deliverance, healing in your body, because we serve an unlimited God. And so God doesn't want us to be limited in our thinking. I remember in the year 2010, I was only just the state or district prayer coordinator there. And I was not even director of World Network of Prayer yet, but because we were having the UPCI General Conference in the Houston, Texas area, which was in our district, WNOP at the time asked me to be responsible for prayer coverage for that event. And that was the year that the UPCI leadership was believing for another Pentecost, that over 3,000 souls would be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I remember serving as coordinator at that time. We had 8 sections of churches, and I had made arrangements to go to each one and conduct a prayer meeting. We had everything outlined. We went on a 10-day fast. We had prayer meetings, focused prayer, just the whole 9 yards. And I remember one thing that we had planned to do prior to the event is a Jericho prayer drive, that we would join together and drive around the convention center, the George R. Brown Convention Center, and pray. And we had already looped 7 times around the city of Houston, claiming great revival and harvest. And so here it is, when we had the Jericho, before we had the Jericho prayer drive, I went to one section in the Houston area, was West Houston. And that sectional prayer coordinator, before I got up to speak in the pray, she said, "Sister Shaw, we have been having our prayer meetings," because they had their individual prayer meetings, then we'd have the group prayer meet. She said, "But I have been telling, and the people have been saying, sure, the UPCI, they're desiring 3,000 souls, new souls of Pentecost, but we started thinking about backsliders. So we have actually been praying for 5,000 souls. Is that okay?" I said, "Of course, the more the better. You know, how great is your faith?" Jesus says, "Great is thy faith, O woman." Amen. Go above and beyond. And so I said, "Sure, let's pray it now." And so we prayed it and so forth. And so listen to this now. Here it is. Before the conference, we did the Jericho prayer drive. And I think it was the weekend before General Conference. And so we literally, churches gathered together. And one of the men was a police officer. He was in the parking lot with the bullhorn, and we were organizing the teams, how we would go into procession exactly like they did it. And when he did the count of people there, there were actually, to the exact number, 120 people there, just like on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. My goodness, that's not even a coincidence. Then, as we were standing there, there was a young man riding on his bicycle. He stopped. He wanted to know what was going on, so we told him we were about to go out. And he just stood there on his bicycle. And then all of a sudden, he started talking about his problems and repenting. The power of God fell on him. He fell off his bike, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost in the parking lot. First sold. And so here it is, the conference comes. The last night, Bishop Jack Cunningham speaking the word of faith, praying, everyone gathered, thousands of people there. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost falls. And then later on, Bishop David Bernard sends the report out to all the churches. And this is what he said exactly. He said, "The Lord has blessed us and given us another Pentecost where over 3,000 souls, new souls, have been filled with the Holy Ghost." He said, "But together with backsliders, over 5,000 have been filled with the Holy Ghost." How great is your faith? God will honor it. You can even go above and beyond a greater vision, oh God, even than those perhaps who are leading. It could be you, the saint in the church, the woman with the great faith, the man with the great faith. God will honor it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to number 5, presence. That P, presence. How do we know that represents presence? Because the text says that thine hand might be with me. So hand here does not mean the actual hand of God, but it means the power of God's presence to work. Amen. Hallelujah. I had mentioned that we were in New York just in March, and the power of God was present to work. We rented a venue from the pastor of the Baptist Church, the largest in that city. And at the end of it, the power of God fell and filled the Baptist pastor with the Holy Ghost. And so the whole church, the mayor came. And Bishop Gonzalez, who was preaching that night, God gave him a word of prophecy for the mayor. The mayor stood up there. And it's amazing how the gifts of the Spirit work. Because of his schedule, he was there for the first part of the service, and he was about to walk out. And then the minister, he said, "Lord, I feel he's about to leave. Cause him to stay." All of a sudden, he's walking out. Then he turns around and sits down. Then the preacher calls him up, prophesies over. He was so touched. He gave us a personal invitation to come to his office the next day. Myself, the pastor, and his wife, and the prayer coordinator. He wanted us to lay hands on his staff. He wanted us to anoint everything in there. You have power and influence in your city. Don't limit yourself. Prayer is an unseen force. You could send that word anywhere. I got an invitation from the district superintendent in the city of Maine to do the invocation at the House of Representatives. And I had never done that before. God wants you to overcome your fears. I was so nervous. I was like, I don't know what to say to do. I don't even know what invocation is. I asked my husband. I was like, let me pull this up on the internet anyway. So, but God will help you. God gave me something. Even in the hotel room that I went in, it was a picture of the state capitol. I mean, how interesting is that? And as I was looking at it and praying, God gave me a specific word because they're trying to move forward in something spiritual. And he said, I want you to say that God is for me. And there's a scripture in Psalms that said that. And the abbreviation for Maine is ME. And so I spoke and I prayed, and here it is. There was maybe only two other people of color in the whole place. And here it is, all these political men and women sitting there. And so when I was done, and I went down because we had to leave after that, and they were going to go into session and have a meeting. And when I was going out the door, and, you know, and it wasn't even a person of color, next thing I knew, people were crying. The district superintendent and the pastors who were sitting in the balcony, the one who came with me, he said, "Sister Shaw, people around me were crying. They were feeling the presence and power of God. You can't limit it. You can pray that presence in the back home of the backsliders, where the people you've been praying for, send the word in the presence of God." And when I was walking out, this one lady who wasn't even a person of color, she, all of a sudden she shocked me. She grabbed me and she hugged me and she did a high five and she said, "Right on, sister." You don't know what God is doing. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a blessing in disguise. Let's go to preservation. I must hasten. How do we know there was preservation involved here? Because the text said, "Oh, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Amen. And so Jabez was saying, "Lord, keep me that I do not go back to fulfill my past negative label associated with my name." There were all kinds of bad things around Jabez that were happening. And Jabez was not only concerned about the harm working on the outside of him, but the working of the dangers of the flesh within him. Sometimes we are our greatest enemy, our negative thoughts, the things that we deal with, the struggles. Amen. And sometimes we blame it on the devil, and it's not even him. Amen. The Apostle Paul even said, "I want to do good, but evil is present." He had to crucify his flesh daily. And so there are some natural circumstances in life, hardships, accidents, things you have no control over, but God is always in control. We may have relationship issues, and God can reconcile that. And sometimes it's not just the person that you're pointing at. Remember, you have three or four other fingers pointing back at you. There's always two sides to every story. But God can reconcile relationships. Admit your actions. Admit even at times when it's you and you've messed up. Take responsibility. Number two, all of these words begin with A. Alter. A-L-T-E-R, your actions. But what helps to do that is the A-L-T-A-R. You go in the altar and pray. Amen. And God can rebuild it. And then just stop and change your direction. That's what repentance is, to make a face about, turn, and go the other way. And then, number three, account for your actions. Amen. Admit, alter, account for your actions. Then you can move forward. God can do it. My husband, before we got married, his career was entertainment. They would set up these big shows. He had two or three houses. He knew and met people like Michael Jackson, Prince, DeBarge, all kinds of people he was involved in. Had money, and But then the Lord began to deal with him. And his sister witnessed to him. She was going to an apostolic church. And he tells me the testimony that when God began to deal with him, he first started going to Bible study, and then he went to church. And he used to be on drugs and alcohol. And then he said that he'll never forget it when he was in his home, that he just felt, and by that time God had filled him with the Spirit of God to take all of the beer and the alcohol out of his refrigerator and to pour it down the sink. And he said when he did, he literally felt a spirit leave his home. Bondage, drugs. And so God totally delivered him. And he walked away from his friends, all of these houses, everything. But God has given him much more. He has a house, a beautiful home now. Praise God. God owns a cattle of a thousand hills. We paid our church off in 7 years. And God will bless you when you give up the things of the world. God has much more. And he will bless you in the midst of that conversion. And he will preserve you from going back out there in the streets. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it was the prayer of Jabez I'm talking about. But it's not just the prayer of Jabez or the blessings of Jabez. It's the prayer of Pastor Browning and Sister Browning. It's the prayer of this church. It's whatever your name is. When I say the prayer of, I want you to shout your name out. It's the prayer of. It's the prayer of. And so make it personal, customize it, personalize it. It's your prayer because God's going to do something in your life. You can fill in the blank. So not only it's the prayer of, it's the blessings of Pastor Browning, Sister Browning, praise God, Brother Reed, Sister Reed. It's the past, it's the blessings of whatever your name is. Let's say it again, the blessings of, the blessings of. If thou shalt decree a thing, it shall be established. And I declare it and decree it in the name of Jesus. Praise God. You fill in that blank. It's a blessing in disguise. Now let's go to the last one, prosperity. Prosperity. Why do we know it's prosperity? And God granted him that which he requested. Prosperity. Amen. Praise God. And you will never have to sell out to the devil because you sold out to God. Amen. So regardless to what that pain may have been, the sorrow, it might have been financial problems, rejection, divorce, sickness, depression, hurt, heartbreak, broken relationships, whatever it is, God knows what you're confronted with. It might just be a hunger. You have such a pain, like you have hunger pains in real life. Some of you getting hungry right now. It's near lunchtime. But anyway, it might be a hunger pain for more of God in ministry, to see the miraculous, the supernatural, the empowerment of God. Whatever kind of pain you have, God's going to place his blessings, and you're going to see the fruit of it. Praise God. And your coast will be enlarged. When you pour in, God will pour back out to you. Amen. And some of you may even come back with a double blessing. The word of God says in Ecclesiastes to cast your bread upon the waters and it shall return many days hence. Somebody said it might come back with jelly on it or butter. God's going to give you even more. God wants to use you. And you may say, oh, Sister Shaw, I'm disqualified. Tell your neighbor the devil is a liar. God is not concerned about your past as much as he is your future. Because if you think you had it together, God couldn't use you. Look at those in the Bible. King David was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. And we see that Mary was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. Now, what's your excuse? And God used all of them. When the devil tries to remind you of your bad past, you remind him of his bad future, the lake of fire. The devil is a liar. I'm telling you, it's a blessing in disguise. God wants to use you to help others. That's why you have gone through things. Praise God. And I'm coming to a close. Just give me two or three more minutes. Praise God. Jesus wants you to realize who he is. I want to tell you about my Jesus from A to Z. Amen. If you know your ABCs in Jesus, you're going to find them out today. Jesus from A to Z, whatever you need him to be. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he is the living bread. To the carpenter, he is the door. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he is the rabbi and the great teacher. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he is the rock of ages. To the horticulturist, he is the true vine. To the inventor, he is the new and the living way. Praise God. And to the jeweler, he is the pearl of great price. To the king, he's the king of kings. To the lawyer, he is the judge and the advocate. To the musician, he is the song in the night. To the news reporter, he is the good news. To the ophthalmologist, he is the eyes that are upon us. To the preacher, he is the word of God. And I love this one, lady. To the quilter, he is the comforter. Praise God. Hallelujah. To the reader, he is the book. To the sculpturer, he is the living stone. To the trooper, he is the law. To the undertaker, he is the power over death, hell, and the grave. To the volcanoist, he is the Holy Ghost and fire. To the writer, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the x-ray tech, he is the image of the firstborn. To the yardman, he is the plant of renown. And to the zoologist, he is the lamb of God and the lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you believe it? Let's stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is Jesus from A to B to Z. Hallelujah, praise God. And I want to close with this last example. Whatever your need is. We used to sing this old time song in the Baptist church before I got converted in the Apostolic Church. Jesus on the main line. Call him up and tell him what you want. And there's some situations here, I believe, that your call is going to get through. You can't tell me that it can't. The devil is a liar. Nothing can stop it. I remember a few years ago, I'm originally from Louisiana. I was born there. But I moved there, married my husband, and we were in Austin, been in Austin, Texas. And I was involved with Texas events. The Lord spoke to me one day. He said, I want you to go to the Louisiana camp meeting. And he said, I want you to cover that event in prayer. Praise God. And so I did, and God did some miraculous things there. So I've always had a burden, too, to pray for my home state. And I remember prior to that, though, that the Lord spoke to me in a dream, and he gave me something about one of the major churches that was going to be involved in that camp meeting, and it's there, and it's the Pentecostals of Alexandria, the Mangans. And he gave me a specific message, a scripture, to call and give to them. And I remember the Lord told me the exact time that I needed to send it on the email and can call and to confirm that they had gotten it. And so I'll never forget it. I typed it out, sent it to the secretary, and said, give it to both pastors, Pastor Anthony Mangan, give it to Terry Schock. And then the Lord said, I want you to call exactly, I think it was like 2:27 p.m., call and follow up with that secretary that she got it, because it was a message for the church and what God was doing there and the things that he would do to impact that area. When God tells you to do something, be obedient. And when he tells you to do it, and when you call upon him like Jabez did, he will open up that line and it will come through. And so here it is. I make the call. All of a sudden, I notice the secretary picks it up right away. Hello. I was kind of shocked. And I was like, and her name at the time was Sister Wanda. I said, oh, Sister Wanda, I said, this is Sister Flo Shaw. I just sent you an email. I'm just following up to make sure you got it, to make sure to give it to Pastor, and then give it to the other pastor as well. And she said, and I said, this is something the Lord gave me. I just felt an urgency about it. She said, Sister Shaw, she said, I know God gave you that because you didn't know this. Let me tell you what's been happening around here in Louisiana. We have been having storms, and for about a week and a half, or with several days, she said, all the telephone lines are totally down. Not one call has come through here for days, but your call came through. It's the only one. When God got a message for you, when you're sending a call through, Jesus on the main line, call him up and tell him what you want. You won't be disappointed. If you have needs right now, tell him, call him up. Call him out. That call will go through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, shatana rabah shata. Alana ma oh shatana. Ashata. Woo!